Hello, and welcome to Coffee with Jesus. I'm your host, Todd Ubley. We have a special treat this episode. We have a very special guest. She's an author who lives in the Ozarks with her husband. She has two grown sons and a 7-year-old grandson. She loves to help encourage people in everything that she does, from writing her books to writing a blog. She has a real heart for encouraging others. Ladies and gentlemen, please join me in welcoming Sarah Tyler. Before we begin, Sarah, would you please share with us what your website is and where they can find your book?
Yes. My website is just sarahtylerauthor.com. And they can find my Christian journey through a fallen world on that website, or they can go to Amazon or any other online bookseller. They all have them. I seen Walmart even had it. I thought, oh, cool.
Nice.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. And then, of course, my newest book out is that From My Heart, I Give You Jesus. And that is all the, it's the most viewed and most favorite blogs of all the blogs I've written on that, my website. Because when you go to sarahtylerauthor.com, you'll see about, and then you'll see testimonies, people that read the book, and then you'll also see blogs. So you can just click on blogs, and you can read all of them there. So that's what this second book is From My Heart, I Give You Jesus.
Okay, excellent. Thank you. And for those of you who are listening, I will post links in the show notes. For those of you who are watching on YouTube, I'll post the links in the video's description. Well, thank you very much for coming on. I appreciate the time and the message that you have to share. Would you please start by sharing a little bit about yourself?
Yes, Todd, I'm Sarah Tyler, and I'm a local author here in the Ozarks where I live in the Springfield, Missouri area. I'm a mother of two grown sons. I've been married for 56 years to the same man. And in fact, he was very instrumental in me becoming a Christ believer. And so that's my main focus of my whole story, is that when I saw the light, which believe me, it took about 3 years after we were married, even though I was going to church, listening to the gospel, I was raised in such a dysfunctional family of 10 children that my dad was a tyrant. And so I didn't understand why I needed a savior, but it was just 3 years later, as we'd been married, in fact, we had a 2-year-old son, I was struggling tremendously with knowing, am I ready for heaven? Am I not ready for heaven? What is wrong? And I got up in the middle of the night and I went to my scriptures and I read in 1 John chapter 5, the verses 11 and 12, I think it is, where it says, he that hath the Son has life. He that has not the Son is condemned in sins. And I thought, that's my problem. I've had a head knowledge of God and Jesus, but I never took it to my heart and made it personal. And so it was at that very point in 1969 that I, right then and there in the middle of the night, all by myself, huddled up with my Bible, gave my life to Jesus. And after that, because of all I'd been through in my younger life, I had an urgency, a real urgency, to make sure that everyone I came in contact with knew about the saving grace of Jesus.
Very nice. Very nice. You had mentioned that, you know, you grew up in a very big family with a tyrant as a father.
Yeah.
Would you mind just sharing a little bit about that and how that either helped or hindered you on your journey?
Well, they gave me a testimony later on in life. You know, my dad was kind of like you would see today. We can almost compare him to some of your Hitlers and your Putins that's going on in the world today. He was just so much in control, and my mother was very afraid of him. And of course, there was 10 children. I was number 7. But anyway, he just would really keep everybody under his thumb. And it's so sad because he had a secret that we didn't know about for so long, that he had never filed taxes, and he was holding all that back. And that's why we as children were never allowed to bring friends home. We just had to be very secretive about our life, and we didn't know what it was all about, but we couldn't go to church. People would come by and knock on the door and say, "We'll take your children to church on the bus if you let them go." Mama would always have to say, "No, I'm sorry, we can't. They don't need to go." You know, and so I never got to go to church. We always say that we escaped the commune because that's what we felt like it was. And when I met my husband in my first job that I had, it was him that was a Christian. And this is just like God. He will absolutely lead you when he knows that you're going to accept him as Christ, and he will lead you in a path that you don't even understand at the time. But he was leading me all the way to find this particular man for my husband, the one that took me to church, the very first time I've ever been in a church. And that's pretty sad when you think about 21-year-old. And there may be people out there right now and that are living under a situation like that, where they've never heard the gospel. And you think, in America, no one's not heard the gospel? But I come across so many people. But then God used me then, and that's what my testimony is. He used me then to be the one to bring about the urgency of the saving grace of Jesus. And when he transformed my life and my desire to help others know of God's grace, then I led several of my siblings to the Lord, and led my brother, the latest one that passed away. I led him 1 month before he actually passed away.
Oh, wow.
Even though I had told him over and over and over about Jesus, he would not accept it. And they use those old cliches. Those preachers on television, they just want your money. They this, they that. So anyway, I was his caretaker for 2 years. And one Saturday morning, I was over there cleaning his house up and helping him get food and doing things for him like I always did. And then the Holy Spirit just said, "Today is his day." And so that's the day I pulled up my chair and told him about my life, how I'd accepted Christ, and how God had spared his life so many times. And I led him to the Lord. And it was so beautiful, because he was crying all the time that I was praying. And when we got through, I said, "Bill, if somebody came by here 2 weeks from now and they asked you, when you die, where will you go?" And he wiped the tears and blew his nose, and he said, "To heaven." And I said, "Why? Why would you go to heaven?" He said, "Because I asked Jesus into my heart." And so then I, hallelujah, praise the Lord. And then 1 month later, he was on his deathbed, in a coma, not eating, not drinking, eyes closed. And just like our great God will do, I stood there beside his bed. And I said, "Bill, it will be beautiful. You'll see Mama, you'll see Daddy, you'll see our sister Katie, you'll see our sister Bonnie, you'll see all of us again." And I said, "You know Jesus loves you." And that was at one point, and he had not done that before, laying on that deathbed with eyes closed, his one eye barely open. I could see the blue of his eye, and a tear dripping down. And I said, "You know Jesus loves you." And he shook his head up and down on his pillow. And that was my confirmation. And that was the very moment then that he went on to be with the Lord. So we never know. We never know. That's why we tell people everywhere we go, the saving grace of Jesus Christ.
Wow, that's amazing. That is amazing. Can you tell us a little bit about what it was like when you first went to church and how you yourself came to know Christ?
Yeah, when my first husband first took me to church, of course, I went in and it was like I wondered what all these people were about, because you have to remember living in a very controlled home by a controlled dad. I never lived a life. I never dated. I was never allowed to wear shorts. We just lived a very sheltered, controlled life. And so it was so hard for me. I kept thinking, why? What am I being saved from? It was so hard for me to understand, because people that never have been in the scriptures and don't know the word, they don't understand that we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. We're born in sin. And like I said, it took many, many messages going into my head, but that was where it was staying, just in my head. And so it was in 69, like I said, that I got up in the middle of the night and went to 1 John chapter 5. And I had a knowledge of God, but I did not have Jesus as my personal Savior. And that's when I was saved.
Would you mind sharing a little bit about your testimony and the things that you've done and how God's kind of brought you through life ever since that moment?
Yes, I found out that because I had this urgency, it was like, tell them, tell everybody, shout it from the mountains, shout it in the streets, just let everybody know what they must do to inherit the kingdom of God. And I decided after, well, I wrote my very first little ebook in 2012. It was called Suicide. I had my younger sister that had come to stay with us there in our little A-frame above the river, beautiful little setting, quiet, serene. And she was going through a divorce, and she came to me out of desperation. But I led Katie to the Lord, because she came to me like a little lost sheep. And she was so disturbed by her divorce that she didn't want. And I got her down, and we kneeled, and I told her what she needed to do to inherit the kingdom of God. She said, I'm so bad. I could never, he'll never take me. I said, no, Dixie, that's not true. Anybody that comes to the Lord, he will not turn away. And then I began to pray and tell her my beautiful amazement. And she asked Jesus into her heart. I thought everything was okay, but you know how Satan, like the seeds that are dropped, you know, some fall on the wayside and some that sprouts up. Right. Because she was so young in the Christian faith that she went ahead and didn't know the victory that was hers in Christ Jesus. But she was so young in the faith that she just couldn't take it anymore. After she talked to him again on the phone. And I was gone, went out of town with my husband. We thought everything was good. But when we came back, she had taken her life. But I'm assured nothing can separate us from the love of God when we're in Christ Jesus. So I'm assured that Katie is in heaven, even though she was very disturbed and didn't know the victory that lay ahead. And of course, I went on to write the big book, which is my Christian journey through a fallen world. But I tell all about how all the struggles that I went through and how I found out that because God would move me to another state with my husband, put me in connection with a friend that I'd never grew up having a friend, because I was not allowed to have a friend. But when I became a friend with a girl and started talking with her, I even got to be able to lead her to the Lord. And she was in a bad car accident, was paralyzed. I actually crawled under her bed because her bed was turned, the gurney part was turned upside down. And I had to crawl under the bed and talk to her that way. And I told her about how Jesus loved her, how he died for her sins. And Connie accepted Christ. It was another reason. I've become very emotional about this just because I want people to know that there are so many out there. They'll have a head knowledge, but they don't never take it to their heart and let the Holy Spirit show them what they must do to be saved. And so it's very, very important. And because I started a blog, an encouraging blog, it's free to read. I put it on my website. I write things like giving you light in the darkness, and miracles are all around us. And I've had so many people that said, oh, that gave me just the comfort I needed at just the right time. And I just try every way I can, Todd, just like I know you're doing, to get the word out, because our time is short and we want everybody we can, and God's not willing that any should perish. And so we're praying, Father, that they will come to know you as Savior.
That's really good. There is such a hunger out there for encouragement and hope right now.
Yes.
I noticed just at the height of the pandemic, and that is why I started the podcast, was for the same reason you started your blog, was to try to reach out and just to encourage people. Mm-hmm. And now, again, even though it seems that the pandemic is starting to fade a little bit, we've mm-hmm. got rising food prices, we've got war in Europe, we've got rising gas prices, and it's so many other things to be anxious about. Mm-hmm. It seems overwhelming sometimes. So with that being said, kind of a two-part question, I guess you could say. One, what kind of encouraging message would you have for those who are already believers? And then two, what kind of things would you say to those who are not yet believers?
Well, the ones that are believers, I think when I started writing the encouraging blogs, my reason for writing them is for the Christian that needs that hope. Because just like the last one that I just finished writing, giving you light in the darkness, things like I started it out, I know it's dark out there. And I know you may say, I don't see any hope. I can't find any peace. I feel like God has abandoned me. But then I come back with, no, he has not. Because he promises his children, through faith and trust in Jesus as our Savior, he'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us. That's Deuteronomy 31:6-8. And it's just one of the promises. He will never leave us abandoned. And then I look at the Ukraine people. Actually, Todd, have changed my prayer for them, because I listened to a podcast a while back where they were talking about what's going on with Russia and Ukraine right now is actually prophecy being fulfilled, and that God's word will always prevail, his word. And I'm thinking, Lord, I've been praying for you to just stop, this Hitler man, this Putin, that you would just stop him, Lord. Don't let him do any more, because we're all looking at all of that. There's a beautiful psalm that I would love people to go to when they're really troubled, mainly the Christian, because I know the Christians are struggling right now. I know churches are having trouble with their people. But Psalms 108, verses 12 through 13, it says, give us help from trouble, for vain is the help of man. Through God we shall do valiantly, for it is he that shall tread down our enemies. And if we can keep that focus, that faith, I know that I'm constantly with my husband, even though he's been a Christian much, much longer than I have been, he gets very down. I don't know why God does still come and take us. We know the rapture's, you know, on the crest. Why don't he just come and take us out of here? And I go, I would love that myself. But listen, how would you like to be that unsaved person that's out there that God's waiting for? And that's what I'm doing. I'm willing to sacrifice the struggles and the pains that I'm going through, waiting for him to come, just because I want another brother or sister to come to know the Lord before it's eternity late. So I want to tell you one little thing here. I never dreamed that I'd be able to do this today. I ended up in the emergency room last night because I have had a hip replacement back in December, and thank God everything's going good, but I'm in physical therapy, and they worked me pretty hard yesterday in physical therapy. And I noticed about 2 hours later, which would have been about 1 o'clock-ish or so, I started having these little warm feelings in my upper chest. They would come and then they would go. Then they would come and then they would go. And so I thought, well, it's nothing. I'm okay, I think. But then we said, well, let's go get something to eat. So we went and got something to eat. And before we got ready to go home, I said, you know, I'm really kind of upset about this. I said, that's not normal. This little heat, it's like, and I don't think it was the Lord putting a little light in there either. It was just something I was feeling. And I said, I'm kind of scared to go home, because what if that something happens during the night and it is a stroke or a heart attack? And so I called 2 urgent cares. They both said, from what you're saying, we want you to go on to the emergency room. So I ended up going to the emergency room at the hospital here in Springfield. And they took me in quite a way, right quickly, because of the symptoms. And I was in there from about 6 till almost 10. And they ran every test they could think of. And they could not see anything wrong with the heart, but they thought that it was probably from the workout that they had done. Maybe it did some spasm or something in the upper chest area. And so, but what it done for me, it gave me another testimony. And I don't think people understand that you go through something, you think you're never going to get through it. But when you get, you will get through it. You will get through it. And when you get through it, then he gave you another testimony. And I sit there, and as I had to wait, as you do in an emergency room, and I looked at all the people coming in, the ambulances coming in. They were short-staffed on nurses. It was kind of chaotic. And I thought to myself, oh, my goodness, people. And I'm thinking, oh, Lord, this is just a small sample. And so I thought, okay, more urgency. Get that word out before it's too late. So testimonies on top of testimony. Use your struggle for your testimonies, my word.
Oh, amen. God, you know, the Bible tells us that God comforts us so that we can comfort others.
Exactly.
I think that's kind of been the overarching theme of at least the second season of the podcast, is just people using their struggles and sharing mm-hmm. their testimonies to provide that hope and that encouragement to other people. Mm-hmm. So that's wonderful. Thank you very, very much for sharing. Sarah, thank you very much for coming on the show, for sharing your testimony, and for sharing your testimony within a testimony. Ladies and gentlemen, it is my hope that you have been blessed and encouraged by Sarah's words today. If you would like to leave feedback, you may do so on our website, www.coffeewithjesus.info. As always, thank you for watching, thank you for listening, and God bless.